The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Despite being in charge for 5 years, the Health Minister Stephen Donnelly has admitted that the current system still favours private healthcare, and this was reported in today's Daily Mail. While the Minister has expressed his determination to address the issue, the former HSE boss Paul Reid has criticised his comments as too simplistic and said it was all going well when I left. Anyway, he was talking to Anton Savage over the weekend. Joining me now to talk about this, Colin Burke, Minister of State with responsibility for public health, wellbeing and the National Drugs Strategy. Colin, good morning.
Morning.
First of all, what do you make of the Minister's assertion that all is not well in the department that he has responsibility for running? I mean, is he simply saying, I have failed?
Well, no, I think we've made a huge progress in relation to healthcare. Remember, life expectancy in Ireland is now one of the best in Europe. People are living longer. We have challenges in the health service, for instance. You know, you take, say, elderly care. We've gone from over 600,000 people back in 2011, over 65, to over 800,000. And within the next 4 years, it will be 1 million people. Therefore, you know, you will have more challenges. We have more complex work involved in hospitals. And the biggest problem that we have in relation to older people is many of them are not able to go back home. Therefore, we need appropriate accommodation for them, and that's the step-down facilities, and we need to be able to fast-track that faster out of our current hospitals. And remember, Pat, you know, the budget has gone up from, you know, 13.5 billion in 2013 to 24 billion this year, and it'll be 25.6 billion in 2025. So that's nearly, the budget has gone up by over 90%.
Now the numbers that you gave me there about the aging population and so on, I know there's a medical inflation as there has been ordinary inflation within the normal economy, but still, doubling the budget in the space of just over 10 years would seem to me that we're not getting the efficiencies that we should be.
But remember, Pat, our population has also increased. Remember, the population of the country has gone up by 40%. We've gone up from 3.5 million up to over 5.2 million in a short enough period of time, in a 20-year time period. Therefore, unfortunately, the development of health services seems to be a far slower process. And we need to, one of the things that I've been campaigning for here in Cork is, for instance, the elective hospital. We've now chosen a site, which is Sarsfield Court site. We need now to get on with both the elective hospital, both in Cork, Galway and Dublin, because it's one of the areas where we can fast track, rather than people going into the main hospitals for daycare procedures, you go into an elective hospital where you have the structures in place. And that's basically what you need to do. You need to fast track some of these projects, and that's the frustration.
By the way, Colm, when you look at the numbers, 24 billion and it'll be up to 26 billion next year, that's what the Minister for Finance allocates. In addition to that, there's all the money that people spend on insurance premiums to the various private insurers. That all goes, some of it goes to profit, but the VHI, for example, is non-profit. Some of it goes to profit of those insurers, but most of that money actually goes into the health system as well. So the actual budget is far higher than 24 billion.
It is, and you know, the issue as well in relation to just coming back to the public sector, the number of staff in the public sector has increased from over 103,000 in December 2014. We're now at over 150,000 people. That's whole-time equivalents. In real terms, it's about 170,000 people, but when you convert it down to part-time and everything else, it comes in at about 150,000 people now working full-time in the HSE. Therefore, we've increased the staffing levels. Therefore, we must now make sure that there is efficiencies. And sometimes, you see, in relation to doing a procedure, you need a number of different components. You need nursing staff, you need the consultant or a senior registrar, you need theatre space, and then you need a step-down facility. And if one of those components are missing, you're not able to deliver the service. And that's one of the problems.
Okay, but you sound like an opposition politician when you say this. I mean, if those components are missing, you're in government, put them there.
But it's about restructuring within the individual hospitals, and it's about how do you make sure that you can get better value, say, out of theatre space. And a lot of our theatres close at 5 o'clock in the evening. How can we now work? Because remember, you need to have staff working in them, Say, for instance, you know, say day procedures. Why should they finish at 5? That doesn't apply in all hospitals. A lot of hospitals work right up until late at 9 o'clock at night. But the question is, in hospitals where it's not happening, how do you restructure the employment of people? Say, for instance, rather than people finish up at 5 and 6 o'clock, you have them finish up at 8 o'clock.
Well, why so, isn't that negotiated? And Paul Reid, I mean, when he left, he had not completed the business of having proper consultant manning over the weekend so that people could be seen and discharged if necessary. That only came in after Paul Reid left.
That very much varied from hospital to hospital. You take, say, for instance, some maternity hospitals, 19 maternity hospitals around the country. Every one of them have consultants on all weekend, regardless what time, whether it is day or night or early hours in the morning, there's a consultant available to make sure that patients are properly cared for, as well as having the support staff there. So it applies, you know, maternity care is 24/7. Likewise, in relation to all other areas, we should be able to do the same. And like
why was this
structure,
we should? Why don't we?
No. What I'm saying to you is that within the hospital structure, you have to go through negotiations with unions. You have to get agreements. Remember, there's a whole lot of different components. You have doctors, you have consultants, you have junior doctors, you have nursing staff, you have care assistants, you have porters. You have a whole lot of areas that you have to work through as regards getting agreement, making sure.
Okay, now how long do you think that might take? How long do you think that might take?
In a lot of the hospitals, it is working out very well. But one of the other things that we need to do as well, Pat, is the whole issue in relation to computerisation. I was talking to one junior doctor in a private hospital, and we are working towards the computerisation of the entire system. I was speaking to one junior doctor. He's an intern in a hospital recently, and he's saying he's spending 50% of his time chasing, trying to get records, scans, putting them back on file. We should have and we should be working faster as regards delivering a fully computerised system. We have made a lot of progress in that, but it is something. Remember, there's over 3.5 million visits to outpatients alone per annum. So you're talking about a large volume of work.
No, it just seems to me that the minister has been in charge of this for approaching 5 years. If you can't do it in 5 years, how long does it take to reform the system?
But it's not just about reform of one area. There's a reform of a whole lot of areas that has to take. And it has happened in a lot of hospitals. A lot of hospitals are doing a far greater volume of work than what they were doing 3 or 4 years ago or 5 years ago. The question is, how do we get the other hospitals which are not performing the numbers, how do you work through to bring your everyone there as a team with you? And this is about admin people, it's about management. So it's a whole range of areas that you're working with that you need to bring with you.
The minister has talked about a fall in the number of patients per consultant in the public area. And in the private area, you get high productivity with regard to patient treatment, and you get low productivity in the public area. So what's going on? What's the difference?
Well, that goes back to the point I was making in relation to theatre, the availability of theatre. For instance, I was talking to one consultant, and the theatre, she's only a half day a week in theatre in a public hospital. Therefore, she's limited as regards the amount of work she can do, whereas you have a consultant in a private hospital, their theatre space is available a lot more, and you have a backup team that's available a lot more, and that's one of the issues.
Well, I remember talking to the late Michael O'Keefe, the consultant ophthalmologist.
Yes.
And he told me he worked in the public area,
right,
as well as the private.
Michael, yes.
Michael was a great individual and very outspoken, and he used to run a private clinic, surgery, on a Saturday morning in the Iron Ear Hospital, and he got four times the amount done because he would directly employ the staff that were needed, be it porterage or be it theatre nurses or whatever it might be. And if one of them was not available, they would be replaced by someone else contracted privately. In the public sector, he'd walk in, his list would be there, and one of the component people might be missing, and the whole list was cancelled. I mean, what way is that to run a business?
Absolutely, and I think that's one of the issues that we need to resolve within. Remember, they have resolved a lot of this in a lot of the public hospitals. For instance, I have one public hospital, for instance, that have done clinics on a Saturday. So, like, it's not just the private hospitals are doing clinics on a Saturday. This is a public hospital that did clinics on a Saturday, and they got a huge, through a huge number of people because they weren't being called away to look at other issues affecting the department on a particular morning. So that's what they found, and they actually, and this is a public hospital, not a private hospital.
So why aren't they all doing it?
It does work. Pardon?
Why aren't they all doing it?
It's just about getting agreement across the board. And remember as well, it is a demanding job, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a care assistant, whether you're a doctor. There are only so many hours that any one of us can do, or any one of the people in the health service can do. And I think it's important that there is a proper structure so that people have the appropriate time off as well. Remember the old system in relation to, say, junior doctors. It wasn't unusual where you had junior doctors, especially in the smaller hospitals, working. They would work every day, 5 days a week, every second night and every second weekend. So we've moved away from that now, where junior doctors are doing less hours, but at the same time we've increased the number of junior doctors and the number of consultants substantially over the last 10 years.
Now, some of the comments coming in, this whole thing is ridiculous. A computerised system should have been in place 20 years ago. Same old lack of accountability and blame the unions kind of stuff. That's from Noel. Why are medical assessments units Monday to Friday? Why do MRI scans operate only 9 to 5? Total inability to manage the HSE. That's from Liam. And by the way, in the private sector, if you're, say, going to Santry for a scan of a limb because of a sports injury, you might be called 10:30 at night because the machine costs a lot of money and they work that machine. Sounds like aspirations are still top of the agenda.
Just take one area in relation to radiation. For instance, we have a shortage of radiation therapists at the moment in some of our hospitals. Therefore, there are certain procedures that are delayed as a result. And one of the things I've been doing over the last seven, eight months is to try and increase the number of training places for radiation therapists. There's 30 come through training.
Okay, what's the try business? You keep saying should and try and
because
want to.
Because we have, it comes in under a number of different departments, like it comes in under the Department of Health, but it also comes in under the Department of Higher Education, and then you're dealing with the colleges as well. So you have to get agreement with all sides about increasing the number of training places.
It seems to me that there's no forward planning, therefore, that, you know, we hear in every area, whether it's pharmacies telling us they don't have enough pharmacists to operate properly, GPs, we don't have enough GPs, now we don't have enough radiotherapists.
On the GP issue, Pat, we are training, we've increased the number of training places from 280 up to 350 per annum, so that's gone up. We're also training people, over 100 people per annum now coming in from abroad who've worked abroad. That's a two-year training course. So within the next 2 years, we should have over 280 newly qualified GPs per annum coming out. And remember, the number of GPs leaving the country of those trained is less than 6%. So, in fact, you know, the people that we are training are staying here, which is really a good sign as regards what's available here and as regards the support that GPs get. And in fairness to GPs in relation to computerisation, during COVID, there was a whole step forward in relation to computerisation and the use of emails and the use of direct links between the hospital without being a paper trail, so that improved very much.
Do you realise how really archaic that sounds? That during COVID we managed to start using emails. I mean, how ridiculous is that?
No. What I'm saying to you is that the issue was the computerisation hadn't progressed directly between hospitals and GPs. It progressed far faster than what was planned as a result of COVID. So there was a lot of work done, and we now need to make sure that we continue with the expansion of the computerization. We continue to make sure that if you go to some countries, you know, it's like having a bank card where once you produce your card, someone can easily immediately access your file to see what previous treatments you had, what medication you're on. That's the way we have to go forward in relation to healthcare, and that is being developed and being rolled out.
It seems to take so long. I mean, you still can't pay with your phone getting on a bus. So, you know, how slow we are. It's supposed to be this wonderful digital universe that we operate in this country, but we still can't do some of the things that are taken for granted in other countries. Anyway, I'll read these texts. Sounds like aspirations are still top of the agenda. There needs to be a step-by-step plan to get this done. Shocking, considering it's the fifth year of government. People in the HSE whose jobs need to be automated then should be reallocated. They're planning to give the Lourdes Hospital in Drogheda €48 million for a refit. This hospital is not fit for purpose, no parking, etc. The North East needs a new hospital on a greenfield site to cater for the increase in population. 18 hours to be seen in the A&E. That's from Helen in Dundalk. Well, don't hold your breath about a greenfield site, because there won't be parking there either if you judge the Children's Hospital on what they've made available. A tiny number of parking spaces for both patients and staff. The health service equals gravy train. Two words, children's hospital, bureaucratic joke with the Irish taxpayer footing the bill and being played for a fool. He's saying we have more junior docs, do we? I think they're all leaving the country, and that's down that's to how correct. Stressful it is for them.
Pat, the number of junior doctors, the number of new people on the medical register this year in 2023 went up by 3,500. Yes, there was 1,300 left. There was 3,500 new people came in. So the number of people, the number of doctors on the medical register has increased every year over the last 5 years.
And where are these doctors coming from, the 3,000 that are coming in?
There's a variety of people, you know, coming in from different jurisdictions, but we're also retaining Irish doctors, as I said, in relation to GPs. Less than 6% of the qualified GPs leave the Irish jurisdiction. Some of them go away to get experience. Remember, also junior doctors here in Ireland go away for a period of time to get experience. Many of them come back then and are able to apply for consultant posts. So it's not a case of people, they go away for a period of 3, 4, maybe 5 years, get experience in other jurisdictions, whether it's Australia, Canada, America, the UK, and then opportunities arise where they can come back home, and that's happening as well. And that's the experience they bring back with them.
If you just step back a little bit from this column, we can talk about all the detail. You know, one of the richest little countries in Europe at the moment, with huge surpluses, huge tax revenues, and we don't have a decent health service. I mean, when you get in through the door, we know that you get the treatment. When you get access to the people, they are top people. No question about it. Nursing care and so on is really excellent. But go to any A&E on Friday or Saturday, any night of the week, and you've got people on trolleys, you've got people waiting. No sign of minor injuries clinics. And where they are, I mean, there was one that opened up in the southeast, and I think it closes at 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Do you know?
Yeah, well, we have minor injuries clinics in a number of places that we need.
But are they open 24/7?
They're not. And that is the position. And we need also to work through, for instance, you have GPs where they're working 5 days a week. We do not have a GP service on Saturdays and Sundays. Okay, you have the South Dock or you have different services, but it's a very haphazard mechanism of dealing with, because if the GP is under pressure, the automatic response is to refer the person into accident emergency. We should have and work towards increasing the number of hours where GPs are available and the number of GPs that are available.
This work towards. Is there no one who's saying this is what we need to do, so let's do it, not work towards
but
it?
Pat, you can't do it immediately because of the fact you need the number of GPs, and that's why we've increased the number of training posts from 280 to 350, and the number of people coming in from abroad who've already worked as GPs abroad. We've created that training process now of over 100 a year. So, in other words, within the next 2 to 3 years, we'll have a lot more GPs available. Therefore, you can then start working towards increasing the service. And remember, GPs, in fairness to most GPs, are working till 8 and 9 o'clock at night. They may be doing...
I think they close in my town.
Yeah.
7 o'clock might be the last you could... Yeah, it doesn't mean they're not doing their books and their paperwork after that. I don't know about that.
But I mean, this is the big challenge, is about the number of people that the GPs that have to do the paperwork as regards following up, making sure the referrals are made to the hospitals, the referrals are made to clinics. That's all paperwork. That all takes time, and it's something that they focus on very much. And that's why a lot of them don't finish until well after 8, 9 o'clock at night.
A lot of people don't need to go to hospital.
Just seeing the patient.
A lot of people don't need to go to hospital, but they still have an illness that needs treating. And yet they would be required, many of them, to take a day off work to go to see the doctor because, like the banks used to be, they're not open on a Saturday. You know, I mean, that's where your customers are available to you is a Saturday. GPs don't bother working Saturdays, many of them.
But that's one of the things that the minister has outlined in the articles he's published in the last 24, 48 hours about trying to deliver and is working with everyone to deliver a 7-day, 24-hour service. That's what you have to work to. But in relation to our hospitals, one of the things we've also got to do is we've got to make sure that we can have an adequate number of step-down facilities so that we can transfer patients out at an earlier time. And as I said, the challenge now is going to be with an ageing population, you're going to have more demands on the services as well, and we need to make sure that...
So where are those step-down facilities? This ageing population is something in the demographics. It's predictable.
Yes.
So the crisis that we have now of an ageing population who needs step-down after maybe having surgery in hospital, they need step-down, that was predictable 10, 20 years ago. What's happened?
Well, we have opened up quite a number of places. For instance, one of the other issues that the HSE have done is they've contracted with private nursing homes, say, for instance, a nursing home that has 60 beds. There'll be a contract between the HSE and that private nursing home that 10 of those beds will be available at any one time for to take patients from hospitals. So there is...
Again, subcontracting out to the private sector, because whether it's building houses or, you know, looking for houses for rent or finding step-down beds. The private sector. Does government not do anything anymore itself?
But because the issue is an awful lot of the old public nursing homes were not up. A lot of them have been refurbished over the last 10 years. A huge number of them are still being, there's still work being done on a number of them. But we have made major progress in relation to expanding. For instance, you take in my own constituency, you take Heather House, we've added a unit containing an extra 60 beds. And that's in the last 2 years. So, you know, there are new facilities being built by the HSE as well. Likewise, in relation to, say, for instance, Mallow Hospital, we built a totally new hospital there, floor 2 and 3 are open, where there's 48 beds, but that's for the hospital because the old hospital was no longer suitable for what was required. Therefore, there's a lot of building work going on by the HSE as well, and a lot of projects being delivered on.
All right. Look, Colm, you're very good to come on and face the music, as it were. Fine Gael, TD, Colm Burke, who is also the Minister with responsibility for public health, well-being and the National Drugs Strategy. More and more of the comments coming in. I have private health insurance. Recently got sick over a bank holiday weekend. All the private clinics were closed for the weekend. I was in terrible pain. I had to wait for hours and hours in A&E in terrible distress. It was in the morning I was seen. I arrived at 9:30 p.m. the previous night. Don't they know people get sick out of hours? It's ridiculous. I was in Spain 2 years ago, got sick over the weekend too, and was seen straight away. It was an amazing service. And by the way, that's something about the private service that they pick and choose, you know, when they have accident and emergency departments. They don't offer that comprehensive service necessarily 24/7. What's the point in training more GPs, doctors and nurses? They're all going to Australia. We need to pay them more to keep them here. A friend of mine has a daughter who graduated as a doctor 2 years ago. 5 of her doctor friends have all left for Australia, including her, because they were never offered a permanent job in 2 years. A lovely South African doctor started in my local practice in Wicklow, left after a month. Why? He could not find suitable accommodation. The minister's repeating everything we've known for the past 20 years, and nothing has changed, even though the...
The Pat Kenny Show.
With Aviva Insurance.
On News Talk.